On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with the runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Back for another episode, here to break down game two of the preseason. Got another preseason game coming up tomorrow night. Excited to get into that. See a new opponent in the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. But excited to talk what seemingly was like a complete flip-flop of what we saw on Friday night, Matt. And first and foremost, how you doing, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to breaking down this second preseason game against Houston. Like you said, you know, just a really positive flip of the script for the Bulls after a really rough game on Friday. And even though we still are in the games that don't technically matter or count yet, you love to see that kind of bounce back effort from them. But of course, the other news we got over the weekend and then some more info on it yesterday is that the Bulls are already one of the teams dealing with this new, you know, unknown world of the non-bubble NBA COVID-19. And the fact that, you know, Noah Vonleh announced that he tested positive on Monday, and that was certainly the reason that he was, you know, one of the players with the quote unquote excused absence from the team in their Sunday night game. So, you know, just a very real upfront and quick example of how challenging this upcoming season is going to be when it comes to dealing with that.
Yeah, it's too bad for Noah Vonleh too, which was he was pretty much here on an open tryout. And wow, Matt, like within 24 hours, like as soon as we dropped that podcast yesterday, that tweet popped up about an hour later.
You were saying on our Monday episode, you're like, you know what? I think Vonleh has a shot to actually, you know, edge out Cornette. Maybe the Bulls will waive Cornette, eat his $2 million and change, and give Vonleh that final spot. And then like an hour later, we heard that news. It's crazy.
I was like, shit. I was like, well, freezing cold take, which is fine. He was an open tryout. And like you and I were saying, like the Bulls, I think the very real possibility is here. Let's eliminate any possibility of this happening. It's not going to affect our cap. There is no roster space anyway. Let's just cut ties. And hopefully, you know, when he gets back and healthy and he's okay and cleared again by the league, I'm sure somebody will give him another look. But yeah, like you had mentioned, Vonleh, Cornette, Dotson, Satoransky and Makoko were all not with the team. Same thing with Garrett Temple, who is still self-isolating. And then Thaddeus Young and Denzel Valentine were both out with a leg injury and a hamstring injury. So the Bulls were kind of depleted. And coming into this game, I was thinking, all right, the Bulls are going to get pounded again. Hopefully we can just see some flashes of some bright spots going into the third preseason game. But I was actually wrong, Matt. It was a complete flip of the script from what we saw on Friday night. And I was happy. The first thing that I noticed most of all was there was actual movement on offense. We didn't start standing around the perimeter like they did pretty much all night on Friday, and it was refreshing to see. What else did you see that stood out to you on Friday or on Sunday?
Yeah, that was certainly a big improvement from Friday night's game. The movement on offense, people sharing the basketball, people moving off the ball. 26 assists for the team on their 37 made baskets. That was a significant improvement from Friday night. I think they also were a lot more locked in on the defensive end. You know, it certainly helps when the team you're playing against is not raining everything they're shooting from behind the three-point line like Houston was on Friday. They made 24 threes on Friday. The Bulls cut that in half. Just 12 makes for Houston behind the three-point line Sunday, 12 of 47, so only 25.5% from deep. A big turnaround there. But, you know, in addition to just doing a little bit better, challenging shots, getting to those closeouts, contesting threes, I just thought that the Bulls moved a lot better on the defensive end in addition to moving better on the offensive end. And then the other big takeaway from me was the quality of execution from Coby White in the pick and roll game on Sunday night. I think he showed a lot of growth.
It's funny that you said about the three-pointers, because Houston hit 10 three-pointers in that first half. I was like, the Rockets are again raining threes, and the Bulls were able to keep up even though they shot 25% in that first half. But then it was again a flipped, and there was an adjustment made as Billy Donovan saw, all right, we're not going to continue to let this happen. So the Rockets went on a missing, they made two in the second half. I think they went like 2 for 17 in the second half from three, and the Bulls did a nice job of hitting their
quarter
threes.
Especially the Bulls clamped down. I think the Rockets did you know, halfway through the fourth quarter, the Rockets only had 3 points in the quarter.
Yeah. The Bulls went on two separate runs, too, to finish that second quarter and then to come back into that third quarter early. And credit to the bench, too. Like, Archie hit a three. Coby White hit a three. Guys were just, it actually looked like a second unit that had some competency to it. And it was good to see that because, you know, one of the main themes of the entire rebuild, Matt, has been talking about these awful third quarters that the Bulls have had, whether it be under Hoiberg or Boylan. The Bulls have been one of the worst teams of the last 3 years coming into third quarters, and it was nice to see once that maybe there's a shift and we have an actual coach that's just going to make adjustments at halftime. It was nice to see that, but pair that with the fact that the Rockets weren't hitting any of their threes. I don't know if you're going to be able to consistently have teams do that, but it was nice to see the adjustment.
It really was. You know, just like adjustments all around. You know, I mentioned that the fact that the Bulls look to be way more engaged on the defensive end. If you recall, on Friday night, the Bulls only forced the Rockets into 5 turnovers in 48 minutes of basketball. They generated 18 turnovers on Sunday night and got out and ran and got some solid points off of those turnovers. The thing that I still struggled with watching Sunday, of course, was the Bulls front court. You know, another rough game from Wendell Carter Jr. Lowry, after at least knocking down some threes on Friday night, had a brutal game where he went, you know, I think he was what, 1 of 11 is what he finished with. That's just, man, you and I talked about trying not to worry too much about preseason performances from those guys, especially after Friday, but I'm loving what I'm seeing from Coby. Zach is Zach. You know, we've got a healthy Otto Porter Jr. Like you said, the bench gave them some quality, runs in the rotation on Sunday. But this Wendell Lowry front court has me worried, man.
I'm willing to have some patience with it, but I don't know about the front office, right? Like, what does Arturis and Mark Eversley think? And that's what I have to continue to ask myself. And I don't think that there's, if it continues like this, especially through the first 20 games, I don't think there's any chance we see that front court be the future of this team any farther than maybe the trade deadline. So I'm with you. It does concern me too. I think the good thing is that Otto Porter looked a lot better than he did in the first game, and I think that helped out a lot. And look, Zach was aggressive as hell on the boards, which I think saved Carter and Markkanen at times. I mean, Zach having 9 rebounds in the game, 23-9-5, only 1 turnover and had a block. I mean, if he continues to do that, man, we're talking about an all-star this year.
That was an amazing performance from Zach. I mean, 27 minutes, and talk about efficiency, 23-9-5, like you said, in 27 minutes. Really nice stuff from Zach, showcasing that he can, in some ways, you know, maybe a little bit underrated. People don't pay attention to that element of his game, but he's not just a guy who is a quote-unquote empty calorie scorer. He was looking to get his teammates involved on Sunday night, and I really liked to see that from him. As we continue to watch him develop that aspect of his game, obviously most of the focus has been on Kobe White in that regard, as far as being the lead playmaker and putting a larger, you know, responsibility on his shoulders in just his second season in the NBA. We saw Kobe execute some really solid stuff, you know, running half court sets on Sunday night as well. But if both of those guys can be people giving you, you know, 5, 6, 7 assists a night, you know, and you're getting somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 assists from your starting backcourt every night, like, I'm good with that.
The turnovers for Zach have been down too, which is great. Like, 2 turnovers in the first game and 1 turnover in the second game. I know with more of Kobe commanding the ball handling primarily when trying to run a set offense, I get that it's going to ultimately lead to Zach having less turnovers instead of a multi-ball handler's dominant system like Boylan had. But that's good to see too. Like, people complained last year, and even we did too, especially in crunch time. It's like Zach LaVine's turnovers have to come down. He was averaging 4, 5, 6 turnovers a game, and it was just killer for the Bulls. So that was good to see as well. Matt, we've got a ton more to get into in this second game, and we can kind of compare it back again to the first game from what we saw that we didn't like, that we liked on Sunday as well. But before we do that, I want to tell our listeners about Blue Nile. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now you have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they are gone, they are gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainable sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique, meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, Matt, before we get into like anything else X's and O's wise, we just spent like the first 10 minutes or so on that. I asked you real fast. Did you see the Felicio's chin strap though? And did you hear the commentary between Benetti and King? By the way, Benetti and King are fantastic on the broadcast. Getting him and Adam Amin playing along with Stacey King this year is going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun.
It is going to be great. I mean, I loved getting Amin and Stacey on the call together on Friday. Amin had NFL duties on Sunday, so Benetti filled in. I mean, I don't think you can think of a possible better substitute play-by-play guy alongside Stacey when Amin has to miss games for his national you know, broadcasting duties than Jason Benetti. Whether it's NBA, MLB, college sports, I mean, Benetti is just a pro. He fits right alongside any you know, duo or trio in a broadcast booth. Always fun to hear them on the call together. And yes, as soon as Felicio checked into that game Sunday night, because he was a DNP on Friday, which, you know, made sense. And then the Bulls, as you mentioned at the start of the show, their bench got cut in half because of the COVID-19 protocol Sunday. So Felicio actually got in there. That ridiculous chin strap beard, just wow. I mean, I don't know why he is rocking that look, but it's not great.
Let's take a listen to what Stacey King's opinion on the chin strap look is.
You know, Felicio came and put the body on him. Good job. He got the little chin strap going, the beard.
That's a good look.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. No.
Everybody's a critic.
You know, the Abe Lincoln chin strap. No.
Felicio, chin strap's not doing it for you?
No, the chin strap's not doing it.
No.
You might as well go with the sideburns. Look like you had the long sideburns. That would be pork chops. That would be pretty sweet.
That's a no thanks. Mason Jones.
All right. Somebody who I see I can relate to Felicio in this way is my facial hair. A lot of it grows really thick underneath my neck and all the way up to where the sideburns are. The mustache has started to grow in a little bit over time, Matt, but the only facial hair of substance that I can grow is something of a chin strap or a neck beard. I agree, it's not a great look. And hey, Felicio, do your thing though, man.
I mean, There is one and only one iconic Chicago sports neck beard, and it is former Bears quarterback Kyle Orton.
Very true.
Dude pulled that off. Felicio not pulling it off.
Very true. But while we're talking about the broadcast really fast, we did get a Neil Funk update.
I just saw the DJ that's in here playing all this great music in the arena, Jay Funk. I looked up there for a second. I thought it was Neil. It's like Neil Funk. I was like, Neil's up there spinning the records? Oh, my goodness.
What do you think Neil's spinning while he's watching at home right now?
You know what? Neil texted me and her was harassing me Friday night. And I asked him, what are you doing up? Aren't you supposed to be in the bed? And he's like, no, I'm watching you and Adam. I want to see what you're doing. I'm critiquing you.
So he's still paying attention to Bulls basketball, and it's good to hear. And Stacy just said that he seems like he's enjoying his retirement now and just getting to spend some time with his family. And again, once things like go back to normal, Matt, we've got the vaccine completely out and again back to somewhat normalcy. Hopefully the Bulls can give Neil Funk his right due, give him a night at the United Center in front of fans, and maybe one last broadcast if possible.
Yeah, it's a shame that we didn't get that, you know, official Funk last home game to, you know, the Bulls 1920 season that never had its finale. But obviously I'm hoping that they'll do something for him again, like you said, once fans are actually allowed back in the United Center, and that might not be this season. I would not be surprised if that does not happen this season. I mean, they're talking about widespread availability for this vaccine not actually coming around until April or May. And yes, the NBA season with its adjusted schedule will theoretically still be going at that point in time, knock on wood, if they're still going along. I would see the Bulls playing it safe, though, and saying, let's wait till next season. But, you know, whether it's Neil Funk or, you know, a certain former Chicago Bulls center legend, Joakim Noah, having their due credit kind of nights, a retirement night for Neil, retirement night for Joakim, it can't be in an empty United Center. It just can't.
Totally agree. And it just, it doesn't give off the same effect to do it on a broadcast and just have it a one-on-one, because you just don't get the same type of energy, that feeling, and something that I think he deserves. And Bulls fans want to be there to cheer him on and see that final speech too. I think he deserves it after everything he's given to the organization over the years. And yeah, people will miss him, but I think the broadcast is in fantastic hands, Matt.
It absolutely is. Jordan, what other things do you want to touch on from this preseason game, part two against the Houston Rockets? Any particular state? What did you think about Pat Will's second game?
I thought it was really good, man. Like, I thought that, dude, he's seeing the videos of people clipping him and Kawhi's jump shot next to each other, like side by side. You know, that
they
little fatal
kind of similar.
Oh. I gotta avoid it, man. I can't be let down that heartbroken. But I probably sat there and watched it 100 times. I was like, holy crap, that looks really, really similar. And no wonder the Spurs had so much interest in Patrick Williams. But he was great, man. He was 2-for-3 from three. Dude's got to knock down his free throws. But outside of that, yep. I thought he had a great game, man. 13 points plus 5 off the bench and in 28 minutes. I mean, he's going to be a piece. The Bulls are going to have a legitimate six man coming off the bench this season.
Yeah, and once again, active on the defensive end. Three steals credited for Patrick Williams, who is just showcasing already his incredible ability to read which passing lanes he needs to get his lengthy arms into to break up their opponent's offensive sets. He's just like, you could already tell how smart this kid is on the defensive end. He's always in the right place at the right time. And his defensive versatility and his size and his intelligence on that end, I think, is already being showcased through the first two games. Like you said, got to get better at knocking down his free throws, just 3-of-6 at the line. But you like the fact that he got to the free throw line for six free throw attempts. You know, usually rookies aren't given that amount of credit and not usually not that aggressive to get to the free throw line. So, you know, a solid night from him, despite overall not a great shooting night. You know, he missed a couple of closer looks. But I liked what Billy Donovan had to say after the game about Patrick Williams and some of the other guys who had a rough night shooting the ball. Like, you know, Billy Donovan said, we didn't shoot the ball particularly well tonight. The Bulls just 39.4% overall from the field. They did manage to hit 35% of their threes, 14-40. But he said, you know, he could kind of see Pat Will getting a little frustrated at times with shots not falling early on. Like you said, he was knocking down threes towards the back end of the game. But he started out cold. Markkanen, Wendell starting out cold. And I loved this one particular thing that Donovan said after the game, which was during one of the timeouts, he asked any of these, you know, he asked his guys, are any of you missing these shots on purpose? And they all kind of looked at him with confused looks like, what do you mean? Of course we're not missing and on purpose. And Donovan was like, yeah, exactly. You're all taking good shots. You're getting open looks. You're shooting the shots that you should be shooting. And you have no control over whether or not those good looks and those good shots go down. Some nights they go down more frequently than others, but don't hang your head and stay engaged. And I thought that that was interesting because then Donovan relayed that thought into saying that Lauri Markkanen, despite his awful shooting night, just 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from downtown, stayed mentally engaged in the game and stayed emotionally invested in the game and contributed in other ways. He had 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block. Like, Lauri did have a tough night shooting, and it was really hard to see, but he was doing other things out there on the floor that were encouraging.
Man, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's such a good point, too. It like, that was a common theme last year with the Bulls is, we're not knocking our shots down early, so let me just hang my head and let it affect my entire game for the rest of the,
right.
You know, for the rest of the second half. And it wasn't just Lauri who did that last year. It was a lot of these guys. It was encouraging to see them. Matt, they were down 10 in that second quarter, and then they went on a 16-6 run to basically close the half. And the Bulls were right back in it. So to see them come back and fight after they're down, that's what I want to see. Jim Boylan had all the talk in the world last year about fighting and being dogs, but we're actually seeing it. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see it, not you talk about it, Jim Boylan. I want to see these guys be actually able to do it. And having a coach who's going to encourage him the way that you just talked about, going in there and saying, hey, you guys aren't purposely missing shots. They're just not going in. Find your right spots, be confident in your shot, and find ways to contribute in other fashions if you can't score on those nights. Like, Lauri tossed up an amazing lob dunk to Wendell Carter Jr., and yeah, he was aggressive on the boards, too, so I commend them for that, and I commend them for not falling victim to let's hang our heads and just let our asses get kicked after being down 10.
Jordan, we've got a few more thoughts on this Bulls victory in the preseason over Houston. Before we do that, wanted to tell our listeners about Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? Well, there is. And if you have just 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Feeling overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you to use. Maybe you need some help falling asleep. Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids bright and early. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've been using Headspace for a while now, and I really like those wind-down sessions before I'm getting ready to go to bed. You know, like you, Jordan, I'm guessing like a lot of our listeners, I'm staring at screens all day, whether it's my phone or my laptop or my television for work, following the world of sports, following news of the day. And to just unplug a little bit using Headspace has really been helping me recently. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today.
couple other things that I noticed too that the Bulls were doing that they didn't do in that first game was actually having some transition offense. After they would get a stop on the defensive end, they were actually pushing the ball and finding guys in open spots. I remember one early in the first half was great transition. It was Gafford hitting a block, then them running the opposite side of the floor and Zach LaVine hitting a corner three. Those are the types of things that this team is going to excel at. And I think that the bench can even do that in spots, Matt, too. I know there's a section of the fan base, and we've already talked about it, and will probably be a discussion multiple times this year about Chandler Hutchison, but man, he played in 22 minutes, he had 8 rebounds off the bench, and even if he doesn't score, I think he can facilitate a lot of that transition offense, just provide some more length for you, and even if he isn't a guy that's a potential starter in this league, if you have a second unit guy with that type of athleticism, I think that can help. Him, Patrick Williams, Daniel Gafford, we even talked about Otto Porter Jr. all playing in the potential same lineup. I think that's the way that the Bulls should go, and that's their strength, is being able to get out and run and use their athleticism. We saw a lot of that in this second game.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that, you know, Jim Boylan really tried to accomplish was, because of the limitations of their offense and his system of saying, okay, we're going to go way over the top analytics-wise. Nobody's allowed to shoot mid-range. You're shooting a three or you're getting a look at the rim. But he didn't have the personnel to run that. So to try to supplement that offense, it was all about, let's, you know, use this ridiculously intensive defensive scheme to try to generate a lot of turnovers so we can get out in transition. Unfortunately, the Bulls, despite, you know, causing a, you know, a league best number of turnovers per game from their opponents, weren't great in converting them in transition. There were some solid moments in transition from the Bulls on Sunday night. The other element that you know, can help their team on the offensive end, if like certain nights like Sunday, not even hitting 40% from the field, the shots aren't falling, generating second chance scoring opportunities. And I thought, you know, you mentioned some of the players who were active on the glass, you know, Zach LaVine getting a lot of rebounds from the guard spot. Markkanen, despite his bad shooting night, was active on the glass. Gafford doing what he does on the offensive glass. The Bulls out-rebounded the Rockets by 10 in this game Sunday night, including a whopping advantage on the offensive glass. The Bulls had 15 offensive rebounds and generated some quality second chance possessions that actually led to points. The Bulls were one of the worst defensive rebounding teams in the league last season. They were a non-existent team on the offensive glass last season, save for a couple of bright moments from Daniel Gafford. But he was basically the only one. If the Bulls are going to try to overachieve at certain points of the season, win some of those close games, not only do they have to be efficient in transition opportunities, they have to get second chance opportunities. And they did that on Sunday night.
Man, and we haven't even seen what we thought was probably the Bulls' best rebounder out there yet, and Thaddeus Young. Like, think about him being incorporated into this lineup, too, once he gets going. And Temple's not a bad rebounder either for his size. So I'm excited to see, again, it goes back to, I tweeted it out maybe a few weeks ago, the Bulls' just wingspan and their length is insane, man. Between 7'5 and 6'7, you have basically 80% of your roster has a wingspan in between there. And that's insane from the defensive standpoint and from the rebounding standpoint. I agree with you. It's encouraging to see Markkanen, Porter, and LaVine, just in your starting lineup alone, had 3 offensive rebounds apiece. Like, LaVine to do that is a huge step forward. Guys actually going and getting to the rim following their shot. It's something you learn in third grade, but you see the NBA trending more and more. It's like guys just kind of fade away from their shots, and hey, if it doesn't hit, I'm going to get back on defense. It's actually encouraging to see this young team fight for second chance points.
Right. And it's like, hey, you know, we didn't hear anything specifically when Donovan talked about the difference in rebounding from Friday to Sunday that I can recall in his postgame comments. But I'm guessing that he let his guys know before that game Sunday, this Houston team, other than Boogie Cousins, who again was limited in minutes, he only played 17 minutes Sunday night, this is a small Rockets lineup. This is a small Rockets rotation. You guys can be and should be better on the glass on both ends of the court. Go get yourself the ball. Give yourselves second chance opportunities to put the ball in the basket, especially on a night like Sunday when the initial shot on the initial possession wasn't falling at the rate you want. So, you know, that's, hey, recognition of where can we be better than our opponents when you're looking at our lineup versus their lineup on paper. As you just pointed out, wow, our team's pretty tall and pretty long. How about you go get the damn ball off the offensive boards and see if you can get some points that way?
There's going to be nights like this where we're going to be talking about the Bulls being able to run with one of the best teams in the league. And again, take it with a grain of salt. James Harden didn't play in either of these games. I get that. But John Wall looked like his former self. DeMarcus Cousins in spots looked like his former self, too. And also, too, Boogie, get out of here with those BS flopping, too. Like, they stopped calling that in the second game. But, I mean, he was getting away with a ton of that in the first game. So the Bulls just got to be careful of not picking up those ticky-tack fouls and getting drawn into that and frustrated, because if Carter did that a lot last year, is he'd get, I don't know, maybe aggravated with guys early on and pick up ticky-tack fouls that just can be avoided. The last thing I had that was just kind of negative, Matt, was, and it's going to be something that's going to be a learning thing, is Williams and Coby White both combined for 8 turnovers in this game. If there's one criticism, it's just the rookies and the young guys taking care of the ball consistently.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, you also mentioned fouls. Patrick Williams got duped a couple of times. That one pump fake from Eric Gordon behind the 3-point line, if you remember in particular, where he just got Pat Will up in the air, you know, just a total vet on a rookie kind of baiting move. Patrick Williams will get better at that kind of stuff, learning when, you know, to not bite on the pump fake, to keep his feet down. To keep himself in front of his defender without falling for that. That kind of stuff is going to happen. The turnovers, like you said, that's going to happen for some of these younger players, especially young players who are being asked to do a lot. Coby, the team starting point guard. Pat Williams led this team in bench minutes with 28 on Sunday night. Learning curve is going to be there. Whether it's turnovers, whether it's committing bad fouls, you just hope that you see a trend in the right direction as they move forward in Coby's second season. And in Patrick's first.
This could be an error. Is it strange that Daniel Gafford is listed as a power forward?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I don't know why, because to me, he is very clearly a center. I don't know why he's listed as a power forward.
So bizarre. It must
you
just
know,
be
you know who else is listed as a power forward? It's Felicio.
Sure. Yeah, I see that too. This just could be an error by ESPN, but... yeah, very bizarre, and maybe it's just the way that the lineups the Bulls were playing during certain stretches. I don't know, man, but interesting. I think a lot more positives, and that's more of what the Bulls fans are going to want to see going into this year, especially early on when we were talking about playing up against some of the best teams in the league in the first 20 games. If the Bulls can manage to be healthy coming into the season, opening tip just in a couple of weeks, I think that on most nights, you can live with the bad losses and nights where you're just going to get your absolute ass handed to you. I can live with nights happening like that if I see consistently nights like this one. Even if the Bulls don't pull off the win, I'm cool if they can stay in the games, especially against these good teams early on.
Yeah, it's just nice to see a bounce back effort like that. Because Friday night was really ugly and there weren't many bright spots. Obviously, Patrick Williams shined in his NBA preseason debut. We talked a little bit yesterday about how Sato had a really quality game off the bench. Zach and Coby looked like Zach and Coby, but, you know, other than that, just a horrible effort as a team on Friday to see a bounce back and to get a win, you know, despite the fact that we're not counting these games yet, I think is very important for the mental strength and the morale of this team moving forward, because you, of course, you know, have all that positive energy and all of the Zoom interviews we heard from everybody in this team, at the beginning of training camp, everybody, you know, new energy in the building. We're excited. We're positive. We're happy to be playing again. You know, all of that can disappear in the blink of an eye if you have a game like Friday where you're not ready, you get punched in the mouth, you don't respond, and then you don't respond to that loss in your next game. They did that, and even though it's a preseason game, it matters that they did that, because this young team, and Donovan has pointed it out time and again, second youngest team in the league last season, still a very young team compared to the league, you know, average age on roster across the NBA this season. And wins aren't easy to come by in the NBA, but winning builds confidence, winning builds momentum. So hopefully they can take this win against Houston regardless of, you know, who was out there for the Rockets or not. Take the win, be proud of how you responded as a team, and move and carry that momentum forward.
I'm with you. We'll see what they do against a very young team in the OKC Thunder. I just want them to open up a can of whoop-ass on a young team. That would be nice to see tomorrow night, but we can kind of preview that game and more of a, you know, Billy Donovan get a chance to coach against his old team pretty quickly here. So that should be a fun matchup. We'll get into more of that on tomorrow's episode, as well as your mailbag questions. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us. You can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, or at LockedOnBulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
You can fall down there where the tubas are. It's like, oh my goodness. No, I pushed somebody down in there, though.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Why?
I'm sorry. It was a hard foul. I'm sorry.
Into the flute section?
Yeah, he hit me. He hit me where you shouldn't hit a guy, so I got him back.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, it was one of those hockey type of retaliations. Bob Probert. I came after him.
You got
Ty Domi. Yeah, I was coming after you, buddy.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.